Or the big cities either, depending on what year you're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. So there's this queer migration to urban centers and very often to tight-knit communities. That's where the villages were born. But maybe acceptance has been the slow death bell of that. But the point I want to kind of pivot towards here is something that queer folks have been talking about for a long time, and that is our sense of community. Now, we know that there is a loneliness crisis in the gay community. We know that it's suicidality as a result of loneliness is significantly higher in queer folks. And it's that lack of community and connection that I think is a key part of that. Now, Kevin, you've been really instrumental in the Ottawa gay community, at least, in trying to address that crisis in community, most recently with the ego space.
Yeah, I mean, I've always found it to be important to be accepted by somebody, at least, have someone to talk to, have someone to hang out with. It's, humans are social creatures, and everyone needs someone in their lives. And like you just mentioned, it's a little more prevalent in the gay community to face loneliness, especially after, or during the COVID. I remember thinking to myself when we were talking about having people form all of these different circles of, family and friends and such. Someone who is a gay single man with no kids or, no local family, it was pretty tough to be kind of not involved in anyone else's circle, so to speak. I really thought it was one of the opportunities when the third floor above the store actually came open, is I really thought it would be a cool space to form a community area for, different events to be held that would bring people together. And I'm not talking about, the drag shows or the dance clubs or whatever, but, maybe to host a games night or maybe just to have a movie night or just things where people can come and, have a sense of community and socialize a little bit and, maybe not have anything alcoholic, but, movie night with popcorn and your choice of pop and just watch a movie for a few hours. I mean, something to look forward to and something to enjoy, and hopefully you make it a regular thing.
As it happens, probably the best Pride event I've ever been to was in that space under a different umbrella, but still, it was a curated exhibit on the history of queer individuals in the video game industry. People from Stroked Ego were involved in that as well, but it was like 10 years ago or something. So I don't know. It's memory is weird that way. But yeah, there is that need for third spaces, and I've heard there have been a lot of complaints that a lot of the online spaces for queer individuals are either far, far too sexual, like sexual to the point that even people who are looking for sex go, "Ooh, that's a bit much," and then, or far, far too political, where even people who are looking to get involved politically go there and they go, "Ooh, that's a bit much." So there is sort of this gap in the middle. A lot of the sports clubs in Ottawa have been definitely filling that. So the swimmers and the runners and the rugby, like they're very, very neutral and they try to stay away from those two extremes. But I mean, if you're not athletic or if you want to go do something else, there is a lack of those third spaces to go and just, I don't know, play bridge or do who knows what. Like there is that lack of spaces where people can just go and not be, let's say, goal oriented, whether it's sex or politics, whatever your goals are, to just go and hang out. Like there is a lack of that. And some of that is driven by the sort of the death of the gay bar, which was also goal oriented in its own tragic way. But it is good to see spaces like this being experimented with. How, generally speaking, how would you say have they been so far in terms of like, would you say that it's been a success? Or is it like burgeoning?
It's burgeoning for sure.
Okay.
The best event, honestly, that I have witnessed or have been a part of, Seb, was the Rainbow Refuge. I'm sure you've heard of it before. The charity that helps, discriminated folks come to Canada from places where they're not so safe. Just before Pride last year, they wanted to do something fun for, newly arrived Canadians that came from this with this charity organization, but they felt that being involved in Pride as a whole might be a little bit overwhelming for them, since it's something that they have never really experienced. And as you said, you know, the bars can be a little bit intense, and you know, so they rented the space and they had like a little, I don't know, quasi cocktail party with a little bit of dance music happening. And there was about, I think, about 80 or 90 people here. And
In
to
that
see,
space?
yeah, in that space,
Oh
yeah,
my God. Okay, standing room only.
the expressions on the faces of the people that were there was just so rewarding to me. You know, to see them enjoying themselves and being themselves authentically and not having to worry about, you know, what people were potentially thinking or saying or planning on doing or whatever, like they may have been used to. It was just, it was phenomenal. And that really, really made me decide that that was a good decision of me to make. There's been a couple of other opportunities for a couple of the local groups that have had clubhouse nights here. And as I said, it's burgeoning. We're still trying to get, it's only been 6 months, so we're still trying to get the word out there and really market the place. It is filling up. Pride season, obviously, we want to really focus in on that as well.
For folks listening in communities all over the place, you know, now is a pretty tough time for small businesses across the board. You know, everything from inflationary pressures. I'm sure you've seen your purchase prices go up. During the pandemic as well, as well as shipping and just across the board, everything is pricier.
How much of this do you think is the normal swing of small business, though? Because, like, I grew up in a small business family, where both my parents and I had a couple uncles who had a small business, and it's pretty normal. Like, we would go a month where it was all lobster and steak, and then the next month it was all spam and utility chicken. And like the swing between lamb and spam is sort of the normal part of doing a small business, unfortunately. And how much do you think is this just like wave after wave of just bad luck piling up? And how much do you think of this as just like a systemic issue?
I agree with you. It's definitely, you know, fame for, you know, fame or fortune to, you know, I can't remember the saying, but you know, there are times of the year where you have famine and but you know that's coming and you have the opportunity to build up the reserves. So during those quieter times, you have the, you know, the funds and the resources set aside from when you were busy for your Christmas season or your, you know, your Pride season or whatever. So that's something that you can, you know, you can deal with, but it's just one thing after another. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, having to use the lines of credit and credit cards and stuff to weather the storm of the convoy and the pandemic, and with the interest rates rising, of course, it's just, it's not that we're not making money, because we are making money, but we just can't seem to get ahead. You know, you can't seem to get that one thing paid off to move over to the other thing. And I mean, obviously, as you run a store, you still need to bring in stock and you still have to, you know, pay your bills. And, you know, there's those set things that have to be done all the time. But then the more of the chunk of the stuff that's left over after you do all that is being now diverted to pay off interest or to try to, you know, work your way down to pay off an outstanding credit card, for example. So, like I said, it's not that we're not making money and we are obviously increasing our sales over what was happening before, but it's just sometimes it just doesn't seem to be happening fast enough. It just seems like everything is just done with one broad stroke and it's supposed to fix everybody's problem or, you know, at the same time. And it's just, I don't know. I'm not sure whether you can tell my frustration in my voice, but I
I
don't
think
even seem to be making a lot of
it's
sense.
fairly palpable. You know, I think it's worth noting that queer villages and businesses such as yourselves have been the glue that holds our gathering places together. And as these villages fall apart, I don't know what the future of Canada's queer community will look like. But it's going to be a less colorful one, that's for sure. Unfortunately, Kevin, we have run out of time. We'll be
Do
back
you
talking
hear
about some of the other big news of the week
it?
next week. Sorry, just after
Started like
this.
a hum, heard it when you were young, sounded like thunder on the horizon. What could you do? You knew what you wanted and it wanted you. It's time. The fever's here and rising. Hey now, no feet on the ground. There
progeny. Run wild and finally be free. Watch the world around you unravel. Take a leap of faith. You only move forward once the toll's been paid. And it's time to mark the path you'll travel.
Welcome back to Cancun, your home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith. Sebastian is not here with us for this conversation, but earlier in the show, we had a great chat with Kevin Martin at Stroke Deco about small local businesses in Ottawa. And one of the interesting things that he was doing with the Ego space, which is a non-alcoholic space in the downtown of the city, really great inventive use. Now, I am very excited. We have a great next guest is from Chroma, which is an organization in the city of St. John, New Brunswick. Maria, darling, thank you so much for joining me. We're excited to have you here.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Now, the connection between these two conversations is pretty serendipitous, but we found your conference presentation topic, I believe it's coming up soon, I don't know if you've given it yet, at the Fierté to Canada Pride conference.
Yeah, it's going to be a week from this Friday.
I don't want to put pressure on you, but are you anxious? Are you looking forward to it?
I like to consider myself the healthy amount of anxious that gives me the energy to get up in front of a room full of people, but really excited to really focus on this topic because it's something, especially for us at Chroma, we've been using as like a tool in what we do, but never really kind of focused on the strategy itself. So it's been nice to unpack that a bit.
So some of our listeners are definitely in St. John, New Brunswick with CFMHFM. And then we have others in the rest of the province with Fredericton. And of course, we have listeners all over the country. But for those who are unfamiliar with Chroma, why didn't you let folks know what it is that you do in the city?
Absolutely. And as a proud UNBSJ grad, like huge shout out there. But Chroma New Brunswick is a local 2S LGBTQIA plus organization based out of the greater St. John area. We advocate, we collaborate, and we educate with and for the queer and trans plus community. So it looks different ways. And depending on the different programming we do outreach events intergenerationally to give folks a chance to really connect and build that community. And access resources to running our high school lunch club to doing what I do mainly in my job, which is more education around allyship and inclusion.
Topic that you're presenting to Fierté Canada Pride, for our listeners unfamiliar, there are over 100 Pride organizations in Canada. We have, I think we have one of the highest concentrations of Pride organizations of any country, which is fantastic. Fierté Canada Pride is the annual conference where all these folks gather together and they learn from the best. And one of the best that are teaching them on a topic is yourself. So what knowledge are you hoping to impart with these Pride organizations from coast to coast to coast?
Absolutely, especially thinking about traditionally for Pride organizations, they're based on the backs of volunteers who don't necessarily have the same power to own spaces, necessarily a big organization or a business or these other different groups. And especially thinking about queer plus and trans plus folks, there's not always those intentional spots in the business community, even when some of those, there's more power in spending there. So a lot of the times you have to be really strategic about how you're making this intentional space. And sometimes you don't own the space, but you own the moment. And thinking about the ways you can come into these spaces that you can't control all the time, but take what you can control and make it safe and make it a place where folks can show up as their full selves and really participate in whatever's going on instead of worrying about all that other stuff that can happen day to day.
It reminds me a little bit of the, I think it's like the Pink Gorilla takeovers that used to happen back in like the 80s and the 90s, where queer folks would just en masse show up to a straight bar and it was gay for the day. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and it, there is something unbelievably powerful about going from a space that is predominantly, you know, not how you identify, to a space where you would predominantly identify with the group. Now, I phrase that in such a way that folks who are maybe religious can tell the difference between being in their place of worship with everybody who's in the religion, mm-hmm. and those who are not. Women can obviously identify with women's only spaces and not. And likewise, it's that idea of being in the majority and the safety it creates for queer folks. I just think that this is an amazing concept. How has the community reacted to the work that you've been doing?
I'm like very supportive. I'm like, I'm trying to think of the right words to come out because it makes me really excited to think about too, because a lot of the times we're going into community centers, we're going into to public businesses or organizations, places where maybe you wouldn't be comfortable stepping that foot in the door before you have that safe connection. And to be able to not only give them that intentional space in those places, but even sometimes bridge those relationships so that they can access even more services is huge, because community centers do so much in our cities. And sometimes, depending on the setup, so a physical aspect of safety I think about a lot is washrooms.
Mm.
So when we go into places, if they don't have all gendered washrooms, we'll set them up. We'll bring our signage that says what's in everything, you know, and show them just how it can be done. And then they use it for the night and we continue and help them with the education so we can evolve their space as well. So it's really like a symbiotic relationship with everyone.
I think that's beautiful because, you know, we know that anywhere from 1 in 300 to 1 in 100, depending on which survey you look at, of Canadians are trans identified. And when you're in a city of, you know, tens and tens of thousands, that's more than a few trans folks who may want to come and use your services. And this might shock everyone, but everyone does poop, even the queen. With a community with a disproportionate rate of addiction issues and substance abuse, you know, that's not always the best plan. So the spaces that you look at, is that something that you consider when you're trying to create these temporary gatherings?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a very interesting journey with Chroma. I've been in my position now for almost 2 years. We've been around for about 3 now. So in the year before, I was working for Chroma. I was actually participating in one of their first programs called Creative Connections. So in Creative Connections, they had a couple different streams, one for adults and one for youth, making these spaces in community settings. Sometimes the adult ones would be at a brewery or a bar, and learning to crochet or to make stamps or lots of really cool activities. We did an acting workshop, which was really cool, especially as like a trans person. And feel very comfortable growing up, you know, in those kind of spaces. So to get to own that is really cool and experience that side of things. But one kind of comment we got a lot about that is families wanted to spend time together, you know, and be able to access these resources and build community in a way where it didn't have to feel so separate from each other and people could really learn from each other because, you know, there's lots we can learn from our elders, but lots we can learn from our youth too, which I like to tell people, I think they have a very large amount of empathy these days, which is something we can always take to heart. But that was the biggest thing, is figuring out a way their folks can get together. Because then when you start thinking about these intentional spaces for queer and trans plus people, the most common one is a gay bar, if you're lucky enough to even have that space. But typically that's where it'll start. And even that's so limiting, because thinking about addiction and thinking about our youth and thinking about people who just want a spot to get a resource or mm-hmm. learn something, or those such valuable moments of connection with folks. So you're like, oh, there are people like me out here and thriving. And if it's only in that bar kind of setting, I think it's just, not that it's not important, but I think it cuts off so much that could be happening.
When I was in high school, which is not that long ago, I do have to keep stressing that. But when I was in high school, it was rural Ontario. And I lived about, you know, 40 minutes from the nearest city, which is Belleville, if anyone's familiar with it. But I had a good friend who was a man in his mid to late 30s, and his partner, he was married, and they would come and pick me up, drive me to the gay youth club in Belleville. And that's where I built connections with some of the adults that were volunteering there and other youth who were there. And it was the once a month opportunity to be queer entirely, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's so unbelievably freeing. And I thank my parents every day for giving me that opportunity. And also Rob for facilitating as well. But I cannot stress enough. And I'm sure I can see it in your face. Like you know what I mean? Like that, the emotional impact. And when I think about the horrific stats around the loneliness crisis, around disproportionate rates of depression, anxiety, and the extremes of that I'm not going to get into, this can really be an incredible antidote to that. For those who are listening, what words would you use to encourage them to come and attend some of these events that you're putting on, or to organize their own?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing is any anxiety or nervousness will be outweighed by the community and the strength that you feel in that. And it can be hard to try something new or try a new spot. But if you take that moment, especially thinking about creating that intentional space yourself within an established space, taking on some of that power, which helps inform that and being like, what can I control here to make sure the community builds? And it's so, so helpful when you feel like you belong. And we do. And it's about taking back some of those moments, really.
Well, I sincerely hope that folks in New Brunswick check you out. Chroma, Chroma, and the website is chromanb, all one word, .ca. I really implore folks to go and check out. I've had a wonderful time chatting with you.
Right now, the one thing I want to leave folks with is feel power within yourself. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. Things are busy. Things can be scary. But knowing community is around even when you don't necessarily see it or feel it, and own some of that and take the strength in that you need.
Excellent. Thank you. And we'll be back just after this. Well, welcome back to Cangri, home of Canada's queer medium. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Excellent. And a little earlier today, we heard, obviously, our interview with Kevin at Stroked Eagle, strokedeagle.ca. And then we had a conversation with the executive director of the Centretown Ottawa BIA. And Mariah was joining us from Cromer, New Brunswick. We also heard Follow the Call by Quiet. And we will be playing out with a new Pet Shop Boys track called Loneliness.
I didn't even know this existed.
It's a great track. It's a vibe. You're going to enjoy it.
I look forward to it. Okay.
All right. I've been Luke Smith.
I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Every day, PFLAG Canada volunteers are contacted by frightened kids and by angry, fearful, or ashamed parents. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.